Welcome into the latest installment of the Golf Channel podcast. I'm your host, Will Gray. Happy to be joined today by three-time European Tour champion, Ryder Cupper, a little less than a year ago, Matt Fitzpatrick. Matt, live and in person here in the GC studio. Thanks for stopping in.
Thank you.
So this week, you're playing Bay Hill, but 2 weeks ago, you were over in Mexico for the WGC Mexico Championship T16 finish. What were your thoughts about that course and that venue?
Yeah, great golf course. The layout was fantastic. It was something completely different. Even though Dustin Johnson won, and he's a bomber, it was still nice to play somewhere where you couldn't just pull driver everywhere and hit it everywhere. So
it's part of your run-up to the Masters because you finished T7 last year. So world ranking aside, you would have made it there. But how nice is it to walk off the 72nd green at Augusta National knowing that you're going to get to come back the next year?
It's an amazing feeling, yeah. Hopefully this year I get to go back every year, but
that's always the goal, right?
That's absolutely. But it's such an amazing place, and to be able to go back straight away, you know that you're already going back the following year is great.
A lot of people may not remember you being on that leaderboard. You kind of snuck up there on Sunday, a final round 67, to move into the top 10. When you look back at your season as a whole, you win at the Nordea Masters, you win in Dubai at the end of the European Tour season. How much of your success can be rooted back to that final round at the Masters?
I think a little bit. It was a great experience, and it gave me a lot of confidence that I could compete. It's interesting. I never really felt like I had my full A game that week until probably certainly the last day. I seem to remember Saturday was incredibly windy, and I actually sort of didn't shoot a great score, but it still moved me up quite a few places. It's such a special place, and I think for me, sort of coming off there with a tied seventh, it did me a world of good.
Well, I was going to say, this was not your first rendezvous with Augusta National. You also played in 2014 after winning the U.S. Amateur, so you're about to make your third trip, but right now, what stands out as your top Augusta Masters memory?
I just think just every time you go down Magnolia Lane, it's unbelievable. It's such a fantastic feeling. It's to be able to drive down that road every morning before you play, it never gets old. The place is incredible.
What's the most difficult shot you face there?
I think 12. 12 in the bottom, you know.
I know someone who might agree with you, right?
Yeah,
now.
Well, I think when the wind's swirling, it's pretty difficult. It is very, very difficult to judge it. So you've really got to be on the ball.
So I've got to look back a few weeks, because right now you're the answer to a trivia question that no one in golf wants to have the answer to, and that is possibly the last round with Tiger. We don't know when he's coming back, but right now you played with him at Dubai. What was that like, and how surprising was it to wake up Friday morning and see that he had pulled out?
It was a little bit surprising, to be fair. I didn't notice anything personally that was wrong with him. But obviously there was, and hopefully it's going to be... Hopefully going to be better soon, but it's obviously a difficult one. I'm sure by the sounds of it, he's struggling at the minute, and hopefully he's going to be back soon.
So you made your Ryder Cup debut at Hazeltine. Did not exactly go as you guys would have planned, but having had a few months to let the dust settle and you look back, what are your takeaways from that? Do you see it as a learning experience, something you can build off of?
Definitely, yeah. I think I learned a lot that week, and it was just such a great experience for me to play with guys that have sort of grown up watching, really, like the likes of Henrik Stenson, Martin Keimer, Lee Westwood, and to be able to play alongside them was pretty special. So.
All right, so when you're playing at a tournament, playing a practice round Tuesday, Wednesday, do you like to have a little coin, a little side match going?
No.
I'm
not really into that sort of stuff.
No. Really?
I like to do my preparation and get ready for the golf tournament, and just take it from there, really. So,
do you take any heat from the veterans when you saddle up, and you don't want to throw down?
No, not too much. Sometimes a little bit, but I'll happily take it if my prep's as good as it can be, and I don't have a bet, then I'm fine with that.
Who do you like to play a lot of your practice rounds with when you're on this side of the Atlantic?
I play a lot with Martin Keimer. Okay. I don't really, I know a few of the American guys, but probably not too well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I tend to play a lot with Martin Keimer over here and a bit with Danny Willett. So,
how much of an inspiration was it to see him walk off with the green jacket? I know you said that you would like to be in that position this year, but basically that was the first time an Englishman in your lifetime had won. You were born in 94, Fowler won in 96, but how much do you take from seeing what Danny did and hoping to translate into that for you?
Absolutely. You know, it gives me great confidence that that hopefully I could achieve that one day, and obviously it'd be great if it was this year, but if it's not, another year would be just as fine. Yeah, it's fantastic for him, and I know him very well, so to be able to see that from someone who I know pretty well, it's pretty amazing.
So you're playing this week at Bay Hill. I know we had talked that you're going to be playing a little bit more in the States. Is it your goal to get your footing on the PGA Tour and maybe play more full-time over here?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, my goal this year is definitely to get my PGA Tour card. And then after that, I'll just sort of balance it out. I'll play half in Europe, half over here, and just sort of make sure that I'm getting the best of both worlds, basically.
What's the appeal for trying to do both schedules?
Europe will always be my home tour. You know, I really enjoy playing over there, the British Masters, you know, the Irish Open, the French Open. They're all great events. And then over here, I love the way of life over here, love the golf tournaments, love the just love everything about it in America, really. So.
Could you see yourself living over here in a few years?
Yeah, I'm planning on doing it next year. So,
oh,
so yeah,
that's quicker than a few years.
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely. So, got a girlfriend over here now, and just gonna sort of see where she ends up with a job, and you know, we'll work it out from there, basically.
So you're not that different from a normal 22-year-old.
No, there you go. There you go.
What's your favorite PGA Tour venue outside of the majors?
Harbortown.
Really? That was a quick answer.
By a mile, yeah. Harbortown's my favorite golf course.
Really? So, what do you like about it? Just the layout?
Love the layout. Just love the place in general. The whole town, the whole atmosphere. It's fantastic. So, it's definitely there.
Okay.
Definitely there.
So, going back a couple of years, you win the U.S. Amateur in 2013, and then you go to Northwestern for a semester, and then you leave Northwestern.
Yeah.
Is there anything about that transition that if you had a mulligan, you might change? Or does that whole path, is that what brought you to this point?
No, not at all. I really wouldn't change a thing. I think for me, obviously, it's worked out pretty well so far.
I'd say so.
I think I did it the right way. I experienced college life and did it for the time, but I think I was just ready to take it forward with the golf, really. I think that's all it was. It was nothing against Northwestern. It wasn't the schoolwork was really difficult as well, but I think I was just ready to sort of move forward.
Do you still keep ties Northwestern? You follow them in sports,
yeah.
Things like that?
Yeah. So I've been following the basketball this week, and a lot of them, I go back a lot to see my friends, and my girlfriend's still there. So I've got a big Northwestern fan.
You're gonna pencil them into your bracket here coming up once.
I've got to.
All right, we'll end with this. What is your favorite babyface story? Give me something where you've walked into a place where people mistake you or question what you're doing inside the ropes or anything like
I've
that.
I've got so many.
Pick your favorite.
I think the best one was probably when I was an amateur.
Okay.
I've walked onto the range the first time, and I've gone to get golf balls, and my brother's caddying for me because my caddy hadn't arrived just yet, and I've got golf balls in my hand, and I've turned around to walk back to where I'm hitting, and a guy in all Nike stuff has come up to me and said, are those for Tiger? Because he thought I was a ball boy, so I had to politely decline that and say, no, they're actually for me. And then he sort of just ignored me rudely and then wandered off. So, that's probably the best one.
That's a good one. That is that's a keeper for sure.
Yeah.
A little motivation, right? Just to,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It definitely did.
All right. Well, Matt Fitzpatrick, thank you much for joining us. Good luck this week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And maybe we'll see more of you around Gates Parts once you get settled.
Thank you.
That'll do it for this edition of the Golf Channel podcast. I'm your host, Will Gray, and we will see you next time.